Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Bananas, nuts, crazy, unbelievable.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
You don't have any idea what my life was like before you came along. You know, most people want to have kids and they settle in, and that's all good.
I hear ya.
Jeff Lutz.
I know that, dude.
It's hard for me to believe that you folks don't understand the way of the world.
No duh, right?
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Then it's going to be legendary.
All right, we are back. The three-man booth, Bob Lutz, the big fella Anthony, Mike Furches. Our first ever attempt at this. You guys are doing great. I've dropped the ball a few times. Why are you doing whatever you're doing, big fella?
Hey, it's that music. I feel it. Yeah. You know what? You got me thinking, the three of us together, we could probably come together and do as good as the Bee Gees.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, well, I didn't throw Jeff in there. With the Jeff in there, it'd make us be now, pretty bad. The three of us do
to
great.
To me.
Jeff talking.
I asked Jeff not to sing. I'm going to demand that you not sing.
Oh, man. I'm hurt.
I'm sorry, but my dog's ears.
How's that buzz feel, Anthony?
My dog's ears are sensitive.
I didn't hear you howling.
I will say this. You're on my good side if you like the Bee Gees. You're on my bad side if you don't. Where are you?
I like them. And it's kind of strange because I'm a hardcore metal guy. I'm really excited about next week's guest. But I mean, really excited. But
well, tell us about it.
There's a the guest next week.
Yeah.
We got a fellow coming in. I'm not going to share too much about his name right now. But he's made a movie, an animated film that took him 15 years to make. He made everything by it. It's a musical rock opera. That's been compared in some circles to heavy metal and the
wow.
best one ever made. And he played all the instruments, sang on it, and it reminds me kind of a Spinal Tap with the Kiss twist. And
interesting.
I'm really excited because someone that takes 15 years and works on a single project of that nature plus puts in all
and
the
And he'll
work.
Be on our show next Wednesday.
Yeah, we get all the best.
You're darn right we do.
So.
And what about you and the Bee Gees, Anthony?
Well, when I think about the Bee Gees, I think about the movie Rush Hour. the Bee Gees. Don't you ever touch a man's radio. The Bee Gees will get you a whipping up in here.
Yeah. There you go.
That's the Wayne's World Bohemian Rhapsody moment.
Tomorrow, we will not be here. The Royals will be playing their series finale in Minneapolis against the Twins. And we'll be back Thursday. It'll be Jeff and his friend David Michael Hahn doing the Thursday show. And they'll have a BYU football preview with their play-by-play broadcaster, Greg Rubel. Thoughts on David Michael Hahn? You did a show with him, didn't you, Mike?
Well, yeah, we talk on Facebook. You know, Jeff and David and I, we have a private chat group.
Really?
Yeah, you weren't invited, so I probably shouldn't tell you about it.
Why am I left out of these things?
I'm left out, too. Don't feel bad, Bob. I ain't know nothing about it until today.
It took me 3 weeks to find out what they were talking about. They kept doing the email, but we get on pretty good. I thought we were about as good as you and Duda and Jeff. So.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I thought we could do our own show. It was a lot of fun.
You know, I keep getting hit with that. You guys thinking you could go do your own show. Here's what I'll tell you: go give it a shot. Go sit in this chair every day, and then tell me you can do your own show.
Oh,
I'm talking to both of you right now.
The closest I'll get to doing my own show is called PODCAST. That's as close as it's going.
There
be.
You go. Well, there's something.
Now, I may be able to do it from this side right here.
There's something to be said for doing your own podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, that's at least a feather in your cap. What have these clowns done? Jeff and Duda and
we have
David Michael Hahn and Mike. I mean,
we've sat under a great teacher. We have been apprentices to one of the greats.
Who, me?
Yes.
Thank you.
If I could be Charles Barkley when he talking to Shaq, he said Shaq ride off of Michael's coattail, Kobe's coattail. All they're doing is riding off your coattail.
Thank you. You guys are, I love you. Love having you on.
I can admit it, though.
Mike, how many movies would you, have you chronicled every movie you've ever seen? I would think someone like you would have that done. That
no.
You have a list of every movie you've ever seen.
No, I don't. I'm
shocked.
I have a list of the last 2 years, and that's a little.
Do you regret not having that list?
Yes, greatly. Because sometimes what happens, and it just recently happened with the movie, someone said, have you seen this particular thing? And I know I've never seen it. Then I started watching. I said, I watched this. I've seen this before. But to be able to remember the things you've seen, and that's a true thing, is I've seen so many. There are many I have seen that I don't remember. And I try not to watch a movie more than once if I don't really like it either.
So I keep track of movies. I don't go to many anymore. But there's this movie out called Borderlands that has Cate Blanchett, Kevin Hart, Jack Black, Jamie Lee Curtis. Okay? Just on that alone, you'd think, that sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah.
What is Cate Blanchett doing in a movie with Kevin Hart? Well, what we've discovered is, at least according to the reviews I've read, it's one of the worst movies ever made. Thoughts?
I would not say it's one of the worst movies ever made. I would say it's pretty bad. I will say Rotten Tomatoes, because I'm a writer for Rotten Tomatoes, it's not quite so bad now. I submit my reviews and thoughts. On opening day, it had a zero critics rating. Had never, Bob, ever happened. And there's a lot of that people believe is backlash with Jack Black, which I don't happen to believe. I saw the movie, and one of my comments on it is the worst comic book action adventure I've ever seen. It's not a horrible movie, but it's not good either. It's just not
good. But there's not – you can make the argument that Cate Blanchett is maybe indisputably one of the great actors of our time. Mm-hmm. Why would she do this?
The same reason that someone like Kevin Hart, who you would project to be one of the funniest actors of all times, but he's not good in it either. Why would she do it? I can think of a lot of green, usually millions.
Not sure,
of her,
but
usually
she
reasons.
Doesn't need that.
Maybe they did it to break the ice, so to speak, you know, because they got something else coming up. So this is just like, we'll just throw something out there.
I hope not. Yeah. That's not what we want our greats to be like, you know? There are greats in every field, and Cate Blanchett, in my opinion, is an all-time great. So to sully her reputation with a movie like this, and not that great actors don't sometimes make dogs, but it just seems counterproductive.
And critics around the world regarding Cate Blanchett are saying the exact same thing you are. You're far from the only one that has made that observation.
There are just some actors that you respect them so much that they would never do something like this.
Yeah. One of the posts that I made at Facebook regarding movies, which I'm trying to limit myself to as much as I can and stay away from it, but I still have an obligation to the movies, is that there's two comic book based Marvel movies that's out. And despite one of them being criticized by a lot of groups that I've commented about, I thought Wolverine and Deadpool was very enjoyable. It's rated R, people. If there's an R rating by movie, it means certain things. So don't go to an R-rated movie complaining about why there's R-rated content. And that's just one of my pet peeves. And so I had to throw that out there again. But I thought Deadpool Wolverine was hilarious. And I plan on paying to see it again. And I just got through mentioning how rare it is that I see it.
I've heard mostly good things about that one.
Yeah.
There's one guy that's upset about not being in the movie, though. He's from Tennessee, too.
Who's that?
He stands about 7 foot tall. made his name in wrestling, too.
7 foot tall Tennessean.
Kevin Nash.
Kevin Nash.
Because they didn't invite him to this movie.
Hmm.
He was in the one prior to, you know, with the white white and red striped shirt.
Well, I need to say
that was supposed to be in his character.
Marvel movie or from the Deadpool Wolverine?
I guess from the Deadpool Wolverine.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Big wrestler.
So Nash is upset about not being in this movie. I don't blame him.
Who are these people? You recognize their voices. Anthony is with us today. Mike Furches, our first effort at this particular three-man booth. So it's working out well. What's a movie on your radar that you need to get to?
Well, right now, outside of what's up coming, I think the one I want to see most that I'm seeing advertised right now just for fun is Beetlejuice. Michael Keaton looks as good as ever. I think Michael Keaton is one of the great underrated actors of all time. Some of the original cast is back, and
I would agree with you on Michael Keaton. I don't think he gets enough credit. Boy, that makes me think. If I was doing a list of top 10 actors in my lifetime, how would he not be in that list?
Yeah.
Or on that list.
You think about, you don't think about him as being a great actor, but then you think about the movies that he's in and you think, whoa, yeah, that was really good. Yeah, I really liked him in that. I didn't expect him to be in that movie, but he played that off really well. You think those types of things about Michael Keaton. And some people still say he is the best of all of the Batmans. Now think about that. That he would be considered the best of all the Batman and the people that have played
that. I think there's a case to be made.
Yeah. So he's I'm looking forward to seeing it. And I never saw Beetlejuice till a year ago. I didn't want to see it. And my wife talked me into it, and so we sat and watched it one night, and I thought, this is really good. I actually enjoy this. I'm looking forward to, and plus they're paying, looks like the remake is paying tribute to the original, which I appreciate. So,
changing gears, Anthony, are you a movie guy?
Okay, so the movies I would like to see, I can't remember what it is I want to see, so I would have to go back and see Twisters so I can see the preview. That way I can tell you what movies I would like to see.
There you go.
You remember the previews better than the movie?
There's a great app called Flixster. I would recommend downloading it. I don't know if you have it.
Yeah.
But it gives you a list of all the movies that are showing at area theaters, what time they're on. A synopsis of what the movie is, who's in it, and then it has a very cool section about movies that are upcoming. So I look at it a lot.
Yeah.
And at some point, I'll get back into the movie thing. It's embarrassing to me that I'm not. Yeah, but I'm going to tell you the reason, okay? You guys can ridicule it. You can do whatever you want. I have a dog, and every time I leave my dog, it's painful. Thoughts? Go ahead.
You know what? I can give you my thoughts. She is there for, and this is an area of expertise for me, she is there for a support animal because she's providing you emotional support.
And I'm happy when I'm with her, but I feel like I'm shutting myself out of certain things.
I don't think it's too hard of a process. But look on getting her emotional support status, then she can go to the movie with you. I see dogs with people at movies now more than ever. And I don't know about the rest of the theaters, but AMC hasn't made a big deal about it.
Do they hold them in their lap? I'm going to do this.
Sit in their lap, or sometimes the person.
Misty would go completely nuts.
Yeah.
Well, I got a suggestion. You think she would go nuts in the theater? Take her to the drive-in. They still got the drive-in.
There you go.
She'd go nuts there. What would we do?
Well, at least if she go nuts, at least
me,
she could.
Let me tell you the kind of dog Misty is. A Jack Russell. A terrier. A whirling dervish. A ball of fire. Now, she sleeps during the day because my wife's not here and she longs for Debbie. So she sleeps. But when Debbie's here, now she's getting a little older, so she's slowing down a little bit, but she's nonstop. And trying to take her and corral her to some degree, I don't think the success rate would be very good there.
Yeah, so you don't think she would sit next to you in a chair?
No. You have a terrier, don't you?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I got a pit bull. He's a big old baby too. When I say he's a big old baby, he's a big old baby.
And they probably might have a better shot at calming down at a movie theater. I don't know, at a drive-in.
Well, you're either gonna have to find.
I'm gonna let you take them and see how you do it.
I don't want to know.
How did you do it before Misty? Or have you done it before since before Misty?
Yeah, we used to go to movies, as you know.
Yeah.
And then COVID came, and that just kind of shut me down on.
See, I think they were
going to movies. We go out to eat. We do all that stuff.
See, I think the COVID scare. I think that bothered you more than you realize. And I think that's one of the main that you still haven't. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's a natural process, but to get over that.
And I need to go see a therapist. This isn't a therapy show, and you two certainly aren't qualified.
Says who?
Maybe you are.
Well,
maybe you are.
State of Kansas says so, but that's
Mike might be. I don't know about you, big fella. You have a psychologist degree?
No, I don't have none of all this. I don't have none of this stuff. I just have common sense.
There you go.
I can share it with you.
That can go a long way.
Help you through your therapy.
I'm going to throw Anthony will appreciate this. It's like the old gospel singer. He used to say, I ain't never been to seminary, but I've been to Calvary.
Amen.
Yeah, that, I mean, so
you, let the church say amen.
And I just got back from Springfield in Illinois. And Abraham Lincoln's place and was in excruciating pain, but it was so worth it. Man, talk about a man. Never went to college, and they were talking up there about how he had wrestled over 600 wrestling matches and won almost all of them.
Wow! I've only been to Springfield one time. I think they held the Missouri Valley Conference baseball tournament there one year for whatever reason. And that's the only time I've ever been to Springfield. I couldn't even tell you when. And I may be dreaming that. Given how I'm performing on this show today, I wouldn't trust my memory for anything right now.
It happened.
But I'm almost sure I was there for the Missouri Valley Conference baseball tournament.
You was there. You probably had a write-up in the Eagle about it.
Yeah.
You was there.
I believe it.
You know what? Before you mentioned it right then, I would have never remembered it.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy how the brain works on things like that?
Very.
I've driven through Springfield, but I had never stopped. And I would SIL that whole, I wouldn't go up there seeing that program play ball sometime. Just for the sake of visiting all the old MVC teams and stuff.
Yeah. All right, time for a break. When we come back, we'll visit with Hall of Fame inductee, Kansas Sports Hall of Fame inductee, coming up in October, Scott Russell, former all-time great in track and field at the University of Kansas. He joins the show next. It's Bob, Anthony, Mike, a Tuesday edition, The Bob and Jeff Show.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFA. We're still efforting Scott Russell, I'm told. I quit. Tony, I'll pick up my check tomorrow, and that'll be that.
It's one of those days.
He's just really trying to get us in that seat over there.
I know.
I'm not getting in that seat. I refuse to. I'm going to put a black ribbon on that seat saying, here's where Bob sat.
Well, all I can do is set up the interviews. It's up to those who are being interviewed to.
Yeah. This is one of those that I'm really was looking forward to because
sure.
I was at the center watching the Great Olympics with my grandson. And I am not making this up. The javelin in particular event, I had not seen that much before.
I think every track and field event is great. Every single one of them.
Yeah.
There's not one that I don't.
Triple jump.
I think the triple jump's phenomenal.
It's I agree with every event. The 4x400 or the 4x800.
I have a question though, because there was some stuff going on in the Olympics, and I have to question the sanity of the IOC. You got pickleball. You got table tennis or ping pong.
Oh, come on, man.
And then you got this other one called speed walking. Since when?
Speed walking's been around forever. Now, break dancing, that was new this year.
Break dancing?
Which is it's a fun thing to see, but is it a competitive athletic event? And to me, that's one thing about the Olympics. Is that they're not exhibition, but they're competitive. And
You two sound old.
I don't like judgment calls. And I heard the judges and others that were talking about that. There's so many things in regards to judging that are.
I understand.
How do you judge a breakdance in the Olympics?
Judge anything? You know, you build up over years and years. And judging the balance beam.
Well, wrestling is an easy thing to judge, but then they cut back the weight classes and the number of. I mean, it's amazing. To me, it's amazing that the oldest sport, that and running, and they look at cutting events from those two sports and aspects of that, and then adding things that wall climbing. And it was fun to watch. It was amazing, like watching Spider-Man on acid.
Well, I mean, why not? You know, why not have these events?
I mean, if I want to see pickleball, I'll go out to.
Here's the reason.
But pickleball is such a popular activity now.
Right, activity.
Okay,
I think it's a sport as much as tennis.
Have you watched a I presume you saw it in the Olympics. It's unbelievable how good these people.
I was more in tune to the gymnastics, and even with that, I didn't like some of the rule changes because I guess it's like in the team events or something like that. You're only allowed two per country. I thought it was about having the best athletes out there.
Yeah. The other thing for me, Bob, on the reason as to why not. Is it true or not true that the projection is or the proposal is to eliminate boxing in the next Olympics? That's the why not. Because I think that boxing is, or those sports of that nature, wrestling, track and field, those types of things where you have winners and.
Well, I know baseball or softball, those are two sports that I think should be.
Yes.
But the problem is not enough countries play them. Now, baseball has been an Olympic sport. In the past, it's going to be again in 2028. But I don't know how many countries have boxers nowadays. Even in the heyday of boxing, it used to be the U.S.,
and Russia.
Russia, and Cuba. And that was about it. And if you saw anyone else from a different country, it was unusual.
But as you could see this year, you also have Iran and you have Pakistan. You have other nations. European nations, you have Ireland and those types of things that are contributing as well.
Boxing as a whole has taken a big step backwards.
And then here's another twist. There was some, they weren't even really countries. Like, is Cuba really a country?
Sure it is.
Or Hong Kong, that's like a city inside of a country. But they was making, you know, comments about, there were people that was representing what wasn't really countries.
They had an unassociated flag this year for Olympians that were not affiliated with any country. Yeah, they had a team like that this year.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I hate to see them take, and I enjoy watching. I wish I could do it.
Well, I mean, you mentioned table tennis, or you called it ping pong. I don't know if you watched Olympic table tennis. Unbelievable. I don't sit and watch every match, of course, but I like to watch it for 20 minutes at a time. It's amazing what those people can do, and we've all played ping pong. We know what it's like to play. We know, but to play at that level, we don't know what that's like.
Right. Now, one thing I found interesting, y'all remember the inception of the NBA players in the Olympics?
Yeah, I remember.
And we called them the Dream Team. Yeah. And how they had this rock star type persona. Everybody wanted to see them. Now it's like Team USA has now become the villain, especially in France. Then you have a guy on Team USA who don't know if he wants to be Team USA in 2028, don't know if he wants to be Team Cameroon or Team France. But at the same time, he told Team France to do what Triple H and Shawn Michaels told people to do.
What? What are you trying to say? You're Joel, talking about Joel Embiid.
Joel Embiid told
who
France.
Said no to France.
Right.
And he got booed mercilessly over there.
I mean, think about it. Now, that's what you call getting some heat over there in France. I mean,
that's okay. He knew he'd get it. He wanted to play for the U.S. Nobody harbors any ill will toward him for that outside of the French. And even the French.
They don't like any of us.
That was done more mockingly and in good nature than it was. It wasn't really vicious. The French weren't vicious toward Joel Embiid.
Well, he told them two words that was notorious in the days of WWE with DX. He told them.
I know.
We got it. Which is fine. And he had the right to do that.
And my ancestry is French Indian, so I can say this with a little bit of understanding. A lot of the French don't like many Americans for anything.
Sure.
And never have. For a lot of bad reasons, but none of which, I shouldn't say that. I don't want to get political on here. But they don't like any of us, so that for that to happen with the USA team, that was to be expected.
It's a political world.
Yeah.
Especially right now, it's exacerbated. That's okay. But I thought France did a really good job of hosting the Olympics. I thought France, I mean, their medal count was
good.
Great.
It was really good. The arena
competed really well.
That arena where they held track and field.
It was incredible.
I don't think the Chinese place was pretty amazing. But whether that will last, France built a new Coliseum. It was an amazing.
Beautiful.
Absolutely beautiful. I don't think I'd see anything I like as much as that. And so they did a good job of hosting the Olympics. I hope and pray that we can do a good job. And
I think we will. L.A. will be the time difference will be welcome. Rather than having to stay up late at night and watch recorded things.
The construction on the roads that has to be done, and then the driving in that city. Thank God for television.
I was in L.A. in 84, not during the time when the Olympics were held. A little bit before the Olympics. So it was crazy then. But I think Los Angeles is a good site because they got everything. They don't have to build many sites. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean it's not at a particular just one site. It'll be all over the place in the area. So,
I have a question. Maybe it's an observation. Maybe you guys can help me because we're supposed to be talking about javelin throwing too. Can you imagine if javelin throwers were quarterbacks in the NFL with accuracy? With accuracy.
Yeah, I kind of thought that same thought as I was watching the competition this year.
Because they can throw that.
My grandson said, "Peepaw." He says, "Peepaw, they're just throwing sticks." I says, "No, that's a little bit more than throwing a stick."
Yeah, I'd have to talk. I wish we could get Scott Russell. The dynamic of throwing a javelin and a football is obviously different, but in what way is it different?
Yeah, my question would be if we get to it to the point, and I'm not on the show, I really want to know this because we were watching the way that arm bends, and it's kind of the same thing in baseball, but the way that arm bends, the way he comes down, it's a body injury waiting to happen. It's not if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. But the dynamics of how that arm twerks at the elbow like it does for that throw. And when they come down, the way they come down, there's an ACL injury waiting to happen.
No doubt.
And it's a tremendous sport. It is kind of like my grandson said, they're throwing a stick. To throw a stick with the precision that they throw it and the distance is...
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And every Olympic sport has that.
Yeah.
Every Olympic sport has amazing people competing in it.
Yeah.
Whether it's... pickleball or wall climbing or breaking, what these athletes can do is amazing.
Yeah, and this is a rare comment from me. Even in basketball, LeBron this year really impressed me in a lot of different ways that he has not in the past. So if Jeff were here, he would appreciate me saying that. I will still say I don't think he's the GOAT, but he did a great job.
Well, that's fine, and that's kind of a silly debate to really even be having. I can respect people on both sides. Anthony, you wanted to say something about LeBron.
Yeah, I did want to say something about LeBron. I think Steph Curry should be the Olympic MVP.
Well, yeah, I think there's no doubt the way he played. Now, up until the last couple of games, he was not great. LeBron was pretty darn good throughout.
Yeah, he was pretty darn good.
Did in the championship game especially was like unlike anything we've seen. I mean, the guy's unbelievable.
He's a sniper. I mean, when you see the release on his shot,
yeah,
and I mean, it's so fast. It's like he could be like the way his shot is released and the way defenders come at him, he could talk trash like Larry Bird, like, I don't even know how come you came out here.
Yeah, Larry'd have something for him.
He'd have something for him. But his release form is equivalent to what Dan Marino had in the NFL.
Yeah, he's incredible. But I'll say this. It was obvious that the greatest collection of players in the world took comfort when LeBron James was on the floor with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I still have
issues. But.
Hold on. I still have issue with Steve Kerr and how he treated some of those players. If you weren't going to play them, why even bring them along?
Well, they all played at times. When you have 12 players, what team in college basketball or high school basketball plays 12 players when you're trying to win a gold medal?
Well, back in the OWSU days with Greg Marshall, they were playing 11.
Played 9 or 10, at times, but not.
He were doing whole shift changes, though, Bob. There were times that they would change a whole shift. That's 10 players right there.
I tell you someone who's really, since you're talking about whole shift changes, just go up the road to Derby. Watch the girls' game.
Yeah.
5 in, 5 out.
When I coached soccer, I coached a fairly powerful and good high school soccer team back in North Carolina. We were ranked 10th in the nation. And I would not do whole shift changes, but I would do 5 every 5. I did 5 of 5, which you could do in high school.
Mm-hmm.
That means every 5 minutes, my 5 midfielders would switch
in. No offense, but high school soccer is a little different than gold medal Olympic basketball.
That's true, but when you're talking sports, I think especially the Olympics.
You guys are bringing out the you guys are starting to sound a little bit like Jeff.
No, later in the show. You could never sound like Jeff.
No. We're not trying to sing. Well, at least one of us
isn't. Our voice is getting high pitched, and we're not disrespecting Daddy.
I don't think Jeff disrespects me.
Here's what
I think happens. I think Jeff and I, and I get this all the time. Why are you so mean to Jeff? Why do you have the banter you do? What is it? You know why? Because we have a very good father-son relationship.
Mm-hmm.
That's why that works. If we didn't have a good father-son relationship, now that doesn't mean there are times when it's not real. Where it's real here. Some of the emotions are real at times. But you couldn't have that with unless you had a very good relationship.
I would say it like this. Anybody that has questions about how you and Jeff have y'all banter, ask them why do they look at or listen to some of the sports shows that they listen to.
Yeah. I got to say, because we're not too far ahead of time. I want to get back on this a second if I can.
Okay, go for it.
The United States of America with the NBA and the college teams that we have, I don't think there's any – I'm going back to that. I don't think there's any reason that we can't be playing every 12 because a fresh team is better than a tired team. A weaker team that's fresh, if they're giving it everything they have, and in that fast speed up tempo type of game, I would hope they are. And speed can kill – I think they should be playing.
I'm going to trust Steve Kerr, Eric Spoelstra, Ty Lue. I'm going to trust those guys to do what's in the best interest of trying to win a gold medal
in LeBron James
for the United States. I think this is on a different level than anything else.
Which is why they should play the players.
Nah, I don't agree with you.
Okay.
You play the players who are going to win the gold medal for you. And it's a lot about matchups and the teams you're playing. Don't get your butt hurt about Jason Tatum not getting in many games. Too bad.
You play to win the game.
Jason Tatum. Well,
that's the difference. Now, here's the difference. I don't play to win.
Or Tyrese Halliburton. Tyrese Halliburton's time. Both Halliburton and Tatum will be mainstays on the 2028 team.
I think there's truth to that. But I wouldn't play or coach to win. This is going to tell you something terrible about me. I play to win by as much as possible. And that's the difference. You're going to win. You're going to win by a margin of 54 points. I want to win by a margin of 254 points, and with the best players.
Good grief, Mike!
I know it's terrible,
and that's pretty much the standard. I mean, okay, yeah. I mean, the USA team basketball. Not only are they measured by the wins, but they're measured also by the margin of victories. So if you have all this firepower, you may as well use it.
What firepower didn't they use?
But they could have utilized them a little bit more than what.
Well, like what? We get what? Where? What firepower?
I mean, don't put Jason Tatum in for for some token minutes.
Why are you hung up on Jason Tatum? Who is Jason Tatum better than? Is he better than Anthony Davis? Is he better than Anthony Edwards? Who do you then? I mean. I don't get this Jason Tatum.
I tell you what, I'm surprised Anthony Davis didn't get hurt.
No, I'm asking you.
He's a walking injury.
Don't go there. Tell me who you would sit on the bench for Jason Tatum, because I don't see it.
Anyone. If a person's giving it their all. And everything, there's going to be a time that their body needs a little bit of rest.
And they got plenty of rest.
But how much time did Tatum get to where he could replace someone?
He played pretty much 10 players every game. There were usually two guys who didn't get in. Halliburton didn't get in at all.
That's another travesty right there. Why is he not getting in the game?
Because they're trying to win a gold medal. This isn't the JV game at Newton, okay?
We're not going to talk about.
We're not going to
talk about Dimitri Williams right now. That's my friend out there. We're not talking about JV. Newton's JV. We're talking about you got the best players, and all the best players didn't play.
Again, who does Jason Tatum? Who is Jason Tatum?
And Tyrese Halliburton.
When do you get what? How are you getting more from those guys than you are the guys who did play?
If I'm correct, Jason Tatum just put a ring on, too. I need some help. 316-869-1240.
No help. There's no
Please
help.
Please call the show.
You're out in the middle of the ocean, my friend.
But in a championship game in high school or whatever level, you try to let the players, you just mentioned Halliburton didn't even play at all, you try to let the players have some experience in that as well because they have contributed. They've contributed in practices.
Oh, you guys. How much longer do we have?
We're almost out of time.
You guys are making my head hurt.
It's 351.
They won the gold medal.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they was also
and they
tested.
Playing Jason Tatum or Tyrese Halliburton doesn't make the medal more gold.
I mean, I get that point. But still, America is judged on a different standard when it comes to basketball. And I know the game is global. These other countries, they have gotten better. I mean, you got Victor Wembanyama, or however you say his name, Giannis Antetokounmpo. I don't think he played, but if he wanted to play for his country, that makes his country team better. I mean, at the end of the day, the U.S. is still judged on not just winning, but the margin of victory, and if you have the players that can help you get that margin, use them.
One of my least favorite people of my life from my hometown had a great saying when he was coaching football. It's not my job to stop my offense. That's Steve Spurrier, and people were criticizing them by such a large margin. But
Drew Holiday played very well in the Olympics, right? He won't play next time. He's 34. His time is done. Steph Curry, that's his final Olympics, I presume. He's 36. Yeah. Kevin Durant probably won't play. But let's sit him down so we can get Jason Tatum in. Come on, guys.
That's three players. It takes
LeBron won't play.
We know
so at the next Olympics, you'll see expanded roles for Jason Tatum and Tyrese Halliburton.
And I bet you they're going to find a way to put Bronny James on the team.
I doubt it.
I don't.
Come on, Anthony. You're stretching that one a little too far. Maybe. We'll see.
All he has to do between now and then is average like 12 points a game.
Devin Booker couldn't have played better. You're going to put Tyrese Halliburton out there for Devin Booker? Yeah, you can't be. You got to be kidding me.
You're not going to get any argument, I think, from either of us as to the quality of those players, the contributions that they made. I'm just looking at, as a coach, maybe it's just too much of an old school thing that when you can play your kids, you play your kids. And there are moments they could have gotten more time, I think, in the game. So
there's the music.
Oh, my goodness.
Signals the end of this show.
Ended better than we started.
Jason Duda texted. No participation medals in the Olympics.
Was this
he actually
me?
Took my side on this.
It's not.
You said, give it to them, Bob.
No.
Furches is out to lunch.
Was that from Jeff?
That's from Jason Duda.
How old is Jason?
And what do any Canadians know about basketball? We're not talking hockey.
Right.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Good to see both of you. We'll be out tomorrow with the Royals playing Minnesota. Back on Thursday. Have a good night.
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.